Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
It says here to take two for results in 8 hours. That means we should take eight for results in two. Yep.
With Dusty Hara.
Can't see the line, can you, Russ?
No.
And Cam Cleland.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080.
People don't forget.
The Fan.
All right, Dusty Hara, Cam Cleland with you on this beautiful Wednesday morning. Coming up on the show, we'll go Will Disley thoughts. Was Will Disley stoned last night? An investigative report. Hear what Kirk Herbstreit expects out of the Oregon Ducks. And Northwest Nuggets coming up at 8 a.m. Get your nugs before we head into the weekend of college foosball.
Did Will Disley have his nugs?
I think he did. Have you seen the Will Disley tweet yet?
I've heard about it.
Okay. We'll get Will Disley thoughts at 7:45. Boy. Brings up, like, with Chris Long and Calvin Johnson coming out and saying that they were stoned every night to deal with pain. Kind of makes you think how many of these late night tweets that we find from NFL players you're going, boy. Oh wow. The drug tester is going to be coming knocking on your locker today. Right now, though, it is 7:04.
What's hot?
Spoken.
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot.
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Portland Trailblazers lost their preseason opener in the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, 105-94 to the Denver Nuggets. No Nikola Jokic for Denver, no Pau Gasol or Jusuf Nurkic for the Blazers. Leading the way for Portland in the scoring column was Mario Hezonja, which he's going to be the new fan favorite of Portland. He went for 12 points, 6 rebounds in the Blazers' loss. So we're going to put his name in the rafters, retire his number. He's going to be the new fan favorite.
Man, the way too early let's get excited guy on the Blazers roster.
That's who it is.
Wasn't that Sauce last year?
Sauce Castillo!
Wasn't it?
Yeah. You want to know who my Sauce Castillo pick of the year is?
Who is it?
Scalabissier.
Really? You don't think he's on the roster by January?
No, not that.
Oh, I just well, that's kind of what I was implying.
He's going to be hot start. He's going to be the big guy. We're going to play a huge role on
this
team.
He's the next Myers. Well, he's 4 years into the league.
Then you go. Scott
looked pretty good.
He did, 10 and 12. Nasir Little had a nice little game, as did Anthony Simons. So that's Blazers preseason basketball. I just play more games in the Coliseum. And when you do, dress Terry Stotts up.
Yeah.
Like he's working at a nightclub in 1973, and things will be good. It doesn't matter if you win or lose. Fans will be happy.
You're as cold as ice.
Quarterback Keaton Slovis will return from a concussion for USC when the Trojans head to number 9 Notre Dame on Saturday.
I guess that's a good thing. You get your number 2 quarterback.
Well, now you have a backup.
You actually have a backup instead of what would they have done if they did get hurt, wasn't it? Wildcat?
Two wide receivers that at one point in high school played quarterback.
That's good. So at one point in time, I kicked the ball. I made a 45-yarder in a game.
That's my favorite part.
I get to kick.
Is when injuries deplete a position. Coach is like, all right, so who played inside linebacker at any point? And the other guy's like, I played in eighth grade, coach.
Yep, they're in.
All right, you're the backup this week. That is what is happening at Tennessee. Have you seen what's happening at Tennessee?
Yeah, in meltdown.
It is brutal at the University of Tennessee right now.
Good, they deserve it, what they did there.
They have two inside linebackers in their program.
That's tough. You get to go start calling out everybody from the student section.
That's
right.
Wait,
play linebacker?
Wait, what are you saying what they did there?
what they did there.
Yeah.
That whole debacle of how they got rid of their coach, how one coach was hired, and then Mike Leach was hired, and then Kurt, or no, I almost said Kurt Ferentz, Fultz, came in, the athletic director.
Oh,
took
Phil
over.
Fulmer.
Coach Fulmer took over and then went scorched earth, went and pillaged Alabama to try to find his guy.
Yeah.
And then they lost. Yeah. Tennessee, look, you deserve it.
They lost their way when they hired Lane Kiffin and then followed that up with the great hire of Dirk Dooley. you know, it hadn't been going well there for a
Rocky
while.
Top.
Hey, speaking of the SEC, a knee injury is going to sideline Auburn's star running back, Booby Whitlow, for 4 to 6 weeks. If you are wondering,
uh-oh,
6 weeks would take him through the entire regular season.
Oh, man. Are we going to get Auburn losing like 4 games now?
Well, guess what?
Oh.
They have LSU, Georgia, Alabama all remaining.
They're going to have 4 losses. They might have 5. They might go 7-5. They might go 7-5.
Yes.
That doesn't help anybody out here in the Pac-12.
No.
Well, there went that.
So things aren't going well.
Nope.
But hopefully he can return sooner and they can not have, I don't even know, man. It's bad news, though.
But the legend of Bo Nix continues.
Yeah, and his 100 yards passing a game. Mm-hmm.
Dual threat quarterback.
At some point, they need more out of him. That's my bold proclamation of the week.
Bold.
At some point, they'll need more than 100 yards passing from Bo Nix. Wayne Tinkle is going to be a Beaver through 2022-2023, signing a contract extension to stay at Oregon State University as the men's basketball coach.
That's great. I love consistency. I think Coach Tinkle's fantastic. I love that he sweats through everything. He gets after it. He's wonderful, and I'm glad he's staying.
Coming up next for him is a Dove for Men ad because Jay Wright did their body wash.
I don't see why not.
Wayne Tinkle can be the antiperspirant face.
I don't think it's ever happening.
Why?
He's a perspirer.
Sweating his...
He's a sweat thing. Man. You just let him go. Let it happen.
He should get the Botox. Doesn't Botox help with stop sweating?
Does it? Why do you want to stop sweating? It's letting your body breathe. It's good for you.
I mean, there's over-sweating. He's losing a lot of fluids there. Losing a lot of fluids. But congrats to the Beavs on keeping Wayne Tinkle through 2023. The good news is that Sam Darnold will return to the New York Jets this week at quarterback as they take on the Dallas Cowboys. He's suffering from mono, his spleen no longer in danger of rupturing. So Sam Darnold back. Good?
I think that's good for the Jets. They haven't won a game yet.
Bad news, Mason Rudolph still in concussion protocol. That shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. He will be for probably this week. I don't see him
playing. No fine came down by Earl Thomas, right? They didn't have any listed for any of that hit.
I think those come down today, don't they? Don't they become public, or they don't come down? They become public today, Wednesday?
Do we expect?
I would expect
it wasn't a flag on it.
I'd expect a fine.
It wasn't a flag.
Yeah, no. You don't need to.
I know they don't need to.
Do you know the NFL? You don't have to have anything.
I know that.
Hey, guess what? NFL probably just fined you for saying that.
Oh,
you haven't even played in a
decade,
bro.
Not an employee. Don't have to worry about it.
Did you file your paperwork for retirement?
No. I'm still not officially
retired.
You're still a player. Still not officially retired.
So they can fine you. Merton Hanks is going to come after you.
Right after.
Bro. And then plug ears on this one, Cam.
Okay.
Kyle Juszczyk. 4 to 6 weeks, he'll undergo knee surgery.
Well, at least
he's a fullback for the 49ers.
At least it's not an ACL. It's just an MCL.
It's an MCL. Just an MCL.
As Buck said, there was a little bit of tear in his eye when he said, Juszczyk.
Yeah, he's Buck cried in his update. It was like sad news, like somebody died.
He was going to be a better 44 than Rathman. I'm just saying, don't at me.
Sad news for the 49ers as Kyle Juszczyk.
Is he?
We're going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks.
We're going to have to put another.
Buck is so mad right now. All you need to know about Buck is he did not even pull his mic over to say anything. He was just like, you know what? Screw these guys. All right. Top story of the day. Baseball's happening. Whatever. You didn't miss anything in baseball yesterday, okay?
The Astros lost. Look at you trying to gloss over this.
Astros lose 4-1. Justin Verlander on short rest. Run in the fourth inning as all four of the Rays runs came in that fourth stanza. And then they end up winning 4-1. Jose Altuve got hosed at home plate. Blake Snell came in for the save, which means we have
Jose
a game five.
Jose Altuve. I thought he was going to score walking. That was one of the best relays I've ever seen in postseason baseball.
Like a center fielder caught it right off the wall.
Wow.
And then he just threw a dart to the shortstop who just whipped one right to home plate.
Beautiful.
If they would have been a quarter of a second off on any of those plays, and it was a phenomenal tag, too, by the catcher. Altuve scores. He did not, and the Astros lose 4-1, which means game five is tomorrow. Astros held a 2-0 lead.
Feels good about being back home in Minute Maid.
Yeah, Garrett Cole pitched. It makes me feel better.
Play better at home.
I do, and so do the Astros too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Today we got two game fives. National League Championship Series will be decided. Cardinals Braves over on Sister Station 9:10 a.m. starts at 2, followed by the Dodgers Nats at 5:30.
This going to game five. That's supposed to happen.
Yep. Strasburg versus Bueller.
Bueller.
Anybody.
If you catch a good Strasburg tonight, good luck.
And good night to the LA Dodgers. All right. That's what's hot and cool, fans. All right. NFL. Sean Payton has raised the bar on coaches' salaries. This may have snuck up on some people. Dusty and Cam on the Fan. All right, our poll is up at 1080 The Fan on Twitter. Facebook.com/1080TheFan. Is Marshawn Lynch a Hall of Famer? Go vote. Do the dang thing. And we'll get to the polls back on that. Sean Payton got a extension and a raise over the weekend. This one kind of slipped under the radar for a lot of people. And the numbers behind it are the incredible part. According to Jason LaCanfora of CBS Sports, he's reporting that Sean Payton's annual salary will be in the $13 million per year range, which is long past the $10 million. Remember, it was John Gruden at $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. That's the bar.
Isn't Belichick at 10? He's at 10.
Yeah. $13 million a year to keep Sean Payton in New Orleans, though.
Well, you know what that is. That was a play because the Cowboys were going after him.
Again?
They've been going after him over and over and over.
Again and again and again.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that is a you think about that. We talk about record-setting deals in sports. Mm-hmm. Sean Payton and what he's going to be getting paid to be the coach of the, of the New Orleans Saints is on par with, you know, that's what players are getting paid.
I actually think he's worth, this is the thing, the NFL coaches, in my mind, are worth more. They are underpaid when it comes to how much those players make. And I can support coaches only in the sense is that the New Orleans Saints have had great talent. They've been able to do that. But it has been Sean Payton and Drew Brees that have forged, not only for a city, a whole region. You remember, the whole Gulf Coast follows the Saints. Sean Payton has done everything for that whole community, and not just as a brand, but for a city after Katrina. He has done so much. And that's why I think $13 million, if you think about that, if we were talking about a player, is $13 million that much in today's payroll when we talk about players? For coaches-wise, that's raises. I guarantee he got raises for his coaches, which is great because I have two friends on that staff. There are, if you look at that moving forward, it's not only going to bump the bar up, because who's the next coach that can get that kind of raise and extension? Who's going to be the next guy that just up and up?
I don't know.
It's positive. It's not that big a deal when the NFL coaches make that kind of money because...
Well, it is a big deal because nobody's ever made $13 million. I mean, that's $3 million a year past the record.
Right, but it doesn't count against the salary cap.
No.
It doesn't affect the fans' business.
No, nobody's saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
It's just an amazing thing in the NFL.
To see?
Yeah, because he's a coach that will be the third highest paid member of the Saints. Yeah. And usually in the NFL, players are the one, like, one of the hard things for coaches is that there's players that are like, F you, I make more than you, I'm more valuable. Drew Brees and Teron Armstead are the two guys that are paid more than Sean Payton on the entire roster.
But there's nobody else more valuable on that in that organization than Sean Payton.
No, that's
not one.
No, and I wholeheartedly agree. And that's a part. That's one of the problems with, you know, the coaching profession in the pros. And, you know, one of the problems that we look at with college is that colleges have realized this, and that's why college coaches get paid so much, yeah, right? Players don't get jack squat. You know, and that's one of the big issues. It's like, okay, you're telling me that he's this valuable to your college athletics department that you're going to pay him this much,
mm-hmm.
but the athletes mm-hmm. aren't worth mm-hmm. that much, mm-hmm. you know, and
there's
in the NFL, it's the same thing.
Yeah, the discrepancy in college is, I think it's a different conversation because you're making off of amateurs, but you're right. Coaches are extremely important. Big brands have to have good coaches, and coaching is everything. It's just, I mean, Nick Saban is worth $20 million a year because of what he brings to Alabama.
20 million.
I mean, yeah.
Whew. Okay. Well, yeah, Sean Payton, raise the bar for coach salary. That is a lot of dough. And Jerry Jones giving Jason Garrett more support yesterday. You mentioned that Dallas is going after Sean Payton. That's probably why I got this this race. Well, Jerry Jones saying, don't bet on Jason Garrett losing his job.
Yet. I mean that guy's, we've been waiting for this for the last three seasons. But it just, all of a sudden, the Cowboys find a way to make a close at the end of the season. They make a run. They make the playoffs. He saves the job.
Yeah, they'll win the division.
But it was supposed to be, the issue was going to be, now that Kellen Moore is the offensive coordinator, everything was going to be great.
Oh,
Kellen. Things are going to be more.
Kellen Moore news. You know how the Saints slowed him down?
What'd they do?
The Saints have come out this week and said that they went back and watched film of him at Boise State, and they have the exact same hand signals for routes as they did at Boise State.
You got to be kidding me.
And so the Kellen Moore's code got cracked from his days at Boise State, and they were like, all right, we got it.
I love that. And your hand signals.
Yeah, but why, okay, if they're the same hand signals as Boise State, why couldn't you just watch their film and be like, this is their hand signal for this?
Yeah.
Like, why did they have to go back and watch a Boise State film? When he touches his head, he runs a fade.
Because that's stealing.
I don't know, but that is
maybe they should all wear wristbands, and we should do numbers.
What? That's going to go back to your biggest gripe with football right now.
I hate it.
Don't do it.
I hate it.
Don't do it.
I still think colleges should allow, just like the NFL, you should be allowed to speak to the quarterback and the mic linebacker in college.
In the headset, yeah.
Yep. I think you should be allowed. I think it's frustrating that college makes this
very stupid.
Doesn't make any sense. You know, financially, their argument is, well, that'd be just not fair financially that all these other teams can't do it. That's really what it'll come down to. Because it's technology and it's finance to be able to supply the kind of service. Because if it goes out, then your headset goes out and this guy's, it's just more money the NC2A and schools don't want to spend on it.
Well, and one of the problems is that if you did it for the Power Five, you would have to do it for the FCS programs as well, because mm-hmm. could you imagine Portland State goes into Oregon, and not only are you going to get bludgeoned because you're playing a Pac-12 team,
yeah, I know,
but they have a headset, and yeah, then you're sitting over on the sidelines still
supply,
doing your hand
signals? You're the home field. You supply it when the team visits.
Okay.
You supply it.
But you're a little...
I mean, how much can it cost? Obviously, it's expensive. Probably I get pretty it. Expensive. It's pretty expensive.
Yeah. But yeah, change your damn hand signals, Kellen Moore. I think that the...
Or throw up some new cards, you know, do some stuff.
The impressive part for me in all of this is that the length that NFL teams will go to find that advantage, you know, is like, they're sitting there and they're going, all right, we're going to go back to his days at Boise State to try and figure out what he was doing. And they have so many people that are on staff. Like, this is exactly what LSU's now offensive coordinator, he was an analyst for the Saints. His entire job was to watch film. And they went back and somebody in the Saints was like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to watch Boise State film to see if anything's the same. And they cracked a code out of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible to me that they have that much time and there's people just dedicated solely to that.
Well, then you remember you got to see the analytic guys that Frank Reich has on staff. Mm-hmm. You see them when they panned the camera over. Those two guys are sitting there with their laptops open, and they communicate specifically on every play, and they have analytic codes mm-hmm. for that. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I mean, football is so evolved to the point where we're looking at it. Just go to Oregon, for God's sakes. Look on the sideline. Look at the support staff that go on at a college university and then take it to the next level NFL-wise. It is full of people that make a lot of money. It's good. It's good for the sport.
True dat. 55305 is the Better You Today text line. It's how you can interact with the show. Those are a couple of good pieces of news from the National Football League. There's two rarities. We're talking about teams tanking a lot, and there's two stories that popped up that made me chuckle. Two teams that are being run into the ground, one intentionally, one unintentionally, are the Dolphins and the Bengals, correct? We talk about them a lot.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Washington Redskins.
You can add them in, too. There's three.
I think they just...
Okay, well, I do have a third story on that one.
All right.
Barstool Sports did a... Or no, WEEI, our sister station over in Boston, did a like a tailgate review prior to the Redskins and Patriots game in D.C.
Yeah.
There were so many empty spots in the tailgate lot, and they were just walking around, and it was like there's just as many Patriots fans as Redskins fans in this parking lot in D.C., but the other ones that are actually that I found earlier, the Bengals have a problem that is so rare in the NFL. They have 20,000 empty seats for an NFL game.
That's not surprising.
It is because that doesn't happen. Because it's a complete rarity that your capacity is 68,000 seats and you have got, they're only selling 48,000, 20,000 empty seats to an NFL game.
It's a bad product.
It's a very bad product. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that is surprising about it is that what teams will do is if you're not going to be selling out your tickets, you lower the price so you don't have a local blackout on television. Well, the Dolphins tickets are so low right now, it is more expensive to go to the zoo than it is to go to the Dolphins Redskins game this weekend in Miami.
Wow.
The Miami Zoo is charging more for admission than to go to an NFL game.
At this point in time, real dolphins may be more appealing than football players that go by the name Dolphins.
Well, and they're playing the Redskins. That game is going to be a turd fest.
Speaking of the Redskins, LeVar Arrington spoke out. Boy, you're going to want to hear this.
Is it something new that he's saying that it hasn't been said before?
I think it has underlying tones.
What did he say? What did he say?
I'll tell you when we come back.
Oh, okay. What LeVar Arrington had to say after Buck with SportsCenter. Okay, LeVar Arrington did speak out against the Washington Redskins, and we will have the audio of it. We will have audio from that coming up in a few short minutes. We also have our Northwest Nuggets coming up at the top of next hour. But right meow, let's talk a little Pac-12's football, shall we? Kirk Herbstreit and Kevin Agande do the ESPN College Football Podcast for ESPN, and they were talking about the wild weekend that was in the Pac-12. And they, you know, on the heels of talking about Washington kind of in an eliminator, their loss against Stanford, Kevin Agande brought up Oregon. And he brought up something that I think a lot of Ducks feel, and you've been saying all offseason long and into the regular season, but Kirk Herbstreit said there's still hope. Take a listen to their thoughts on Oregon.
Now you're hanging your hat on the way Oregon plays the rest of the way, because if you want to have them in the playoff conversation, they just need more from Justin Herbert. There's certain times where I look at Herbert and I'm like, you see the NFL body, you see the NFL arm, you're waiting for him to jumpstart drives consistently. Not big plays, but give me some consistency on drives and back-to-back drives, and I'm still waiting for that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are in the big game when the pressure's on.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to be able to deliver. The story for me with Oregon has been their defense. They have been outstanding. They gave up a few scores early in the year against Auburn, and since then, I think they went three games without giving up a touchdown until finally Cal scored a touchdown on them.
Yep.
But their defense has been dominating. Andy Avalos came over from Boise State, brought in a a different approach. Jim Leavitt was there for the last few years, and Avalos has brought in a more of a multiple defense, more disguising, creating more confusion, and it's been working. You know, and he's had some pieces to work with, some new faces, some young energy, some speed. And so if their defense keeps playing the way they have been playing all year, as much as Herbert and the offense, because when you think Oregon, you think of offense, I'm very, very impressed with what they're doing. Now, they've got to go to Seattle, and just because Washington lost this past week, I would be very careful in just writing that game off as, yeah, well, Oregon's going to win that
no,
one.
No, exactly. And I'm with you.
You know very well, in the Pacific Northwest, that is a big-time rivalry mm-hmm. game, and whoever's home is going to have a huge advantage.
The Justin Herbert conversation, and this is something that you take as a view of a conference, and we've had this view for a while, but nationally it's now becoming the talking point. And that's how like the trickle out happens.
Yeah.
There's a good and bad though with Oregon is that there's an expectation where Justin Herbert's play needs to be elevated, but the defense is not going unnoticed
no.
that the Ducks are playing.
Not at all. And if you go all the way back to the opener of this season, when you have a 21-6 lead and it comes down to that it was where was the moment, the Justin Herbert moment that you could take and grab the game. Well, no, Bo Nix did that on a defense. That's a very good defense. It's a very, very, very good defense. And now what we've seen is that once you have that defense in place, like Oregon has, Coach Cristobal is doing what he knows best, is playing to the strengths of a team. Remember, this is a – I always look at this, and sometimes it feels when we look and scrutinize football, we end up looking like, they have no defense, but they have a great offense. It's still a team game. And as a head coach, you have to decipher this every single week when you put your game plan in. How are we going to play a team game? Are we going to try to take a ton of risks on offense and put our defense on short fields? Are we going to be smart, kick, punt, maybe play a little bit, be a little conservative because we can lean on the defense? We've never seen Oregon be able to lean on a defense, at least not in quite some time, at least not in the last decade, it feels like. You can now. You can lean on your defense to understand when you need a stop or you need a three and out. They can do that. Everybody is waiting to see what they've been told is Justin Herbert is the best quarterback in the country, arguably. And we haven't seen the elevation of the offense. But I believe that Oregon's playing a team game right now. And it's good enough to take the lead in this conference in the North. But they're going to have to finish it. They're going to have to go on the road and do that a couple games coming up.
Yeah, and one of the things that's it's interesting about this Oregon offense, and it's not the one that people have come to expect out of the University of Oregon, because it has been offense, 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 is the fact that they're still averaging 35 points a game and 447 yards per game offensively. You know, like that combined with a good defense is going to win you a lot of football games.
But this is not Justin Herbert has never had in his career yet an offensive mind that not only is he's consistently had with him in the room over and over and over, and he has not had that guy yet. He hasn't. And it's not to say that the coaches and all of that don't know football. Of course they know football. Mm-hmm. Of course they do. But guys like Lincoln Riley and guys like Tua Tagovailoa, guys like that have had those and have those minds together that are matching, This is what we were all thinking as watching college football, that Coach Arroyo was going to have that relationship and you were going to be able to see the synergy of it because of what has happened in the past. This is exactly what Oregon's always be able to do, is put up points, and they have a dynamic quarterback. You do. You just haven't seen the kind of playmaking ability. But let's put a big caveat on that. Yet.
Yet, the injuries at the wide receiver position, how much more does this offense open up and look different? And then, as this text on the Better You Today text line 55305 points out, like, has Oregon seen a soft defense? Well, yeah, it has, and they've scored 77 points on Nevada, you know?
Yeah.
The other defenses that they've played
good
are Auburn, mm-hmm. Stanford,
yep.
and Cal.
Yep.
Really good defenses. Really good defense.
And they're going to play some excellent defenses to finish the season. Utah, absolutely. They're going to have to face Washington's a good defense. I mean, mm-hmm. they're not bad defenses that are up.
No.
You'll face a Washington State, their defense isn't very good.
How wild is that we're talking of in the Pac-12 conference that there's more good defenses that they'll likely see down the stretch than offenses
that
this
year? That had to happen. Of course, I could have told you this is going to happen. It had to. offense got out of control. Oregon set the tone. Everybody started figuring it out, and they understood defense will get you in this. If you can find a way to stop a couple teams and then coaches shuffled, guys left, this is what happened. The consistency of coaches is always going to be smart. The cyclicalness of this sport, it follows a trend.
Decent defenses to good defenses that they'll see down the stretch. You still got Washington, as you mentioned. USC on the road is a different team defensively, yeah. Or at USC at home,
yes,
is a different team, yes, defensively. And then a lot of people are sleeping on Arizona State's defense.
Very good defense.
That is, and that game is going to be in, yep, Tempe at the end, yep, of November.
Good defense.
That's going to be a tough test for Oregon as well. Like, there is good defense being played around.
So that's why, and that's why I think that it's you guys out there and everybody that's watching this Oregon team. You might get you might have to be happy with 24 points, because 24 points with your defense is going to be good enough to win football games. You're not seeing 50. Mm-hmm. You're not going to see 45, 42 like you saw a couple years ago. Even that Stanford game last year.
Isn't the idea, though, that you need more than 17? Like, against Cal. I know Cal's defense is good.
No.
But 17.
You need one more point than the other team.
I know, but 17 and shooting yourself in the foot with three red zone turnovers in the first half.
Yeah,
like, you can't do that.
I understand that, but I've never believed that you need a specific number. You have to be more intelligent. You have to be smarter with the football. And then certainly you have to make bigger plays. Four big plays. Four or five plays make up every football game. I can go through the entire, both offensively and defensively. I will pull out four to five plays every single game, and I will show you why you won or you lost that game over and over. Oregon is being better at being disciplined and not making the mistakes they did in losing those games.
Gosh, if you would have told an Oregon fan that 3 years ago, especially about the defensive side of the ball, they would have been a liar. I mean, they're a completely different team. Yep. Andy Avalos has made a huge impact, and as has just the culture that Mario Cristobal has built in building on defense. I mean, we think of all of the recruiting hype that they've gotten. Their biggest recruits have been on the defensive side of the football. So something to keep in mind. As Kirk Herbstreit, Kevin Agande on the ESPN National Podcast, College Football Podcast, Pac-12 hitching their wagons to the Oregon Ducks as Washington played in that eliminator. And really, the schedule started out, and this is the thing, is that in college football, you have to start ranked, right? We were talking about people sleeping on Arizona State. How high do you think some of these Pac-12 teams will be ranked? Like, Arizona has lost one game. It was the very first week of the year. They're not ranked in it. They're not even, like, they're not close to being perceived.
Just think, if you would have put Arizona where, let's just throw a team out here. Say Nebraska was at the preseason poll.
Bingo.
Where would Arizona be right now?
Well, they probably would have fallen out of the rankings and then went right back in after they win four in a row.
Well, yeah. And Arizona was half a yard away from tying that game anyways. Yeah. I mean, they are not far from being an undefeated team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's Wasn't true. Nebraska like 17 or something at the beginning of the season?
Something AP? Like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Preseason perception, that's that patient zero that Klatt always talks about. Yeah. But right now you've got Arizona, who is 4-1. They're remaining on Oregon's schedule. 18th ranked Arizona State, also 4-1, is remaining on the schedule. And those teams, if you look at it,
you know,
that's 2, 4 weeks. What if Arizona's 8-1 and then the next week Arizona State's 9-1?
Think about the
those are good wins for the Pac-12.
I know. Think about the story going in about how the North was really going to control the Pac-12. It's kind of, I mean, some of these Arizona teams kind of the flip a little bit. Surprising or not, you have Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State all right there. And the Pac-12 North is going Cal, Washington, Stanford, kind of all muddling up against each other. Look at the South coming up.
All right, let's talk unicorns and giraffes. 743 on the Fan. All aboard!
What in God's name are we doing?
What?
Most sports talk segments are designed to keep the average fan informed while sparking traditional debates.
I have another story that will take you off the rails.
This is not that segment.
Fungal spore.
Growing in his lungs.
It's time to get away from the games.
He choked out a mountain lion and saved his life.
And get into the most bizarre, shocking, and hilarious news stories of the day.
Do you understand that most of the country thinks that you're one of the stupidest people around right now?
It's time for Off the Rails.
Millennial dogs are like, nope.
With Dusty and Cam in the morning.
They crossed their paws and said, I'm done with it.
On 1080.
Stupid covers all genres.
The Fan.
All right, up on Twitter at 1080 The Fan is a poll. Is Marshawn Lynch a Hall of Famer? Don't ask, just vote. Early respondents say 57% no. On Facebook.com/1080 The Fan, same question, different poll. 55% of the people say no, 45% yes.
But consistent pretty much across both platforms. That's interesting.
Is it interesting or is it regionally biased?
Why would it be regionally biased when people are voting no?
Because I think that there are more. Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am wrong. I think there's not as much in this demo down here that are Seahawks fans.
No, you're right. You're not wrong about that. But regionally, you would think that they'd be like, yeah, Marshawn, yeah, sure. Hall of Famer? I don't know.
Well, what do you think?
Yes.
You think he is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Importance to the team and importance to the game. Like, mm-hmm. we're gonna have to evaluate and value running backs differently when it comes to Hall of Fame status. Was Marshawn Lynch the most dominant back in the NFL during his run? In his prime? I say, yeah.
Yeah. What if they hand the ball off?
Beastquake.
Keith in the garbage truck tweeted us, wow, and he said he's one handoff in the Super Bowl, yeah, away from being a Hall of Famer.
Well, there you go.
Bingo.
So one play.
Yeah, it is one play.
And if it's one play that separates you, shouldn't you just be in?
I agree.
Or do you need that one play?
No, I think it's defining moment. If you're a Super Bowl champ and you, I mean, you're memorable.
Well, he would have been a two-time Super Bowl champ had that happened. So I say yes. All right, let's talk another Seahawk. Will Dissly, how stoned was he? At 7:11 p.m. yesterday, he said, if you think about it, unicorns make way more sense than giraffes. A horse with a horn versus a long-necked horse with cheetah spots? TF? If you don't know what TF means, the
It's the
blank.
Back end of WTF.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay, I didn't know that one.
Yeah. So, Will Dissly, deep thoughts with Jack Handy.
In the middle of, what is he watching?
Was there a documentary that I missed?
Animal Planet?
Maybe
what
not.
What was he watching?
But you sit there and you're like, okay, wait a minute.
It does kind of make sense. I mean,
he's not wrong, but that's something only a stoner says, right?
It's like a giraffe is like a brontosaurus that just evolved and... I can't, a unicorn.
A unicorn, but when you think about it, a horse with a horn does make way more sense.
It does.
Like a giraffe, you're like, nah.
No.
Mm-mm.
It's just a long neck thing.
It's a horse with a long neck and is like 20 feet tall and has spots on it. Like, you're right. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
A unicorn, you'd be like, I could see it. It's a mix between a cow and a horse. Unicorn, it's got a horn. Makes total sense to me.
There are things that have four legs
don't
and run
say
like
there's a unicorn.
No, there are things that look like horses and have horns. They're called deers.
Sure.
I mean, it's it has a horn. They have horns growing out the side of their head.
It's allowed. Yeah, but they're not like total unicorn. They don't have like a mane and a bushy tail. I get it. I know. But that's Luke Wilson's deep thoughts. I'm going
Will Dissly's.
Will Dissly's, not Luke Wilson. You said Luke Wilson.
Oh, actually, does sound like something.
It does sound like a Luke Wilson
would say.
Deep thoughts.
But whatever. Also, we have something new that has happened in football. Okay, we will go to the city of Des Moines, Iowa, where Lincoln High School assistant coach Jason Storm has voluntarily resigned after an on-field incident with an official on Friday night. Des Moines, Iowa.
Okay.
They were playing the school, and a cheap shot was taken towards the Lincoln High School's quarterback, who just happened to be this guy, Jason Storm's son. And it was a cheap shot helmet to helmet, and he went after the official. Well, I'm looking at it, and he's like, he's being held back, and it is significant in the play. It's on footballscoop.com. I mean, it's a bang-bang play, but I can see why you would want that thing to be called a personal foul. Well, when he went out onto the field, I mean, it was he was visibly upset, demonstrative towards the officials, and the officials, he made contact with the officials.
Uh-oh.
Charges have been pressed.
What kind of contact?
Well, I'm looking at it right here. I mean, he's obviously really upset. I mean, he doesn't punch the guy. And I'm not going to say it's worthy of it, but we're getting assault by an assistant coach now.
Okay, so those are the officials out there. Over the top? I haven't seen the video of it.
Well, you can go to.
You look at it. You just look at it.
Well,
and
I'm looking at it, and it looks like he's definitely being held back, and he keeps going after the guys again and again and again. But it's any sort of contact, and he resigned and apologized for it. But
charges. That's where we're at now?
Yes, he turned himself into police, and he has been charged with first degree harassment.
There must have been, was there threats? There must have been some threats or something.
And I'm looking at the news thing, and I don't see any contact from the news story. Like, the video footage of it.
Really?
Like, him actually making contact, it just shows the coach is pulling him back. But they're going verbal harassment of the officials, first-degree harassment.
We had an official.
It's weird.
We had an official, because in high school, one of our coaches said, get in there and kick their A. Can I say that? I can't remember if I can say that. Can I say that?
No.
And the official said, you know what? You need to do better with your language to one of the coaches. Fair or not fair?
I'll kick your A. It kind of sounds like this guy
No,
said.
No. He's talking to the players. Let's get in there and kick their backsides.
Oh, okay.
Their donkeys.
Okay.
On kickoff.
Okay.
The official overheard that and said, I'm going to throw a flag. You need to change your language.
Yeah.
Fair, if not fair.
I could see that in high school football.
Okay.
I'm
thinking of today's, and I know there's language is super important. Depends on how you look at it. Because all those boys watch Hard Knocks. They see what it's like at the next level. We're trying to help these young kids say the right thing and do the right things.
Yeah.
I looked at that. I went, and my first thought was egregious, too much, but maybe that's where we're at.
Yeah. And this text on the Better You Today text line says that he told the official that he was going to effing kill him.
Oh, well, that's different.
Well, that is not said in any of the news stories that I have seen from WHO TV in Iowa. And it says is that he was aggressive verbally. And it doesn't say that he said he was going to kill him at all.
That's a death threat.
Yeah, but that's still like, in the heat of the moment, should that be charges being pressed? You know, if like he's just yelling at the guy and he apologized, he quit as a coach. But I have not read that, and I did not see that, and it's not in the article that I'm reading, so I don't know if that one is true.
Well, we already saw what the official did to Jason Garrett for the egregious flag throwing. Challenge flag, and then he went super scorched earth on his flag throw. I can't believe you threw the flag at me. Like, I'm going to throw my flag at you. Higher.
Here it is. Further update. We figured there had to be more to the story. Storm told the official he was going to blanking kill him.
Well,
yeah, that has been updated literally this morning from when I opened this article to right now.
You know, tempers flare. I mean,
a big update there, but
things. That's why when you're emotional and you're on a sideline and stuff, and that's important.
Still, though? I don't think that, like, in these moments.
I'm not, you say that on it to official or anybody at any point in time, all bets are off on you, man.
Well, no, but here's the thing. I understand his resignation.
Yeah.
I do not understand the charges being pressed. Like, I get it, and I know that people are going to be like, well, you can't say that regardless. being on a playing field, things are said that are completely different in our, I mean, I do not believe that the coach had any intention to effing kill the guy. Having charges pressed in that are different in my mind.
I agree. And I guess I can ask this question is of what we think and what we hold important for this. That guy's probably going to be taught a lesson. And the other thing is that he's never going to be able to coach again. And I don't know if you say he's ruined his career, but now that this is a national story and public and social media, the punishment of being nationally embarrassed and then knowing he made a mistake and probably losing his job and all those things, is it going to get even worse with now a criminal charge and take it to all that level? Does that need to be done? I mean, it's not for me to say, that's for judges and people, but that's where we're at with everything said now. There is no gray area anymore. None whatsoever.
All right. Well, he's gone.
Yeah.
And he's fired. And that's today in harassing officials. So, no text line, no truth to the rumor that he was wearing cargo shorts when it happened. He was wearing rain pants.
Dang it.
Okay. He's
probably wearing cargo rain pants.
55305 is the better you today text line. Time to roast some nugs. Northwest Nuggets next on the Fan.